Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Simply Safe, if you've got just a few minutes, like 30 minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in ever again. That's how quick you can set up your security system from Simply Safe. SimplySafe.com. /Adam is where you go to save all that money. All right. In the first half, we'll do trending topics with Max Zapata in studio. I'll tell you an incredible story about a boulder that needs to be moved off of a campus because it's racist. First, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? And you work hard. So how about you get your bundle working by taking your homeowner's, your renter's insurance and bundling it up with your automotive policy? Geico makes it easy to do that. And it's a good thing, too, because you can save a bunch of time and a bunch of money. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Eric Roberts. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll go over some trending topics with Chris Loxamana. And now, in honor of Charlie Watts, he's going to declare a one-day moratorium on his hatred of emotional rescue. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I just saw the ratings went up, Gina Grad.
All right. That's great.
And Bald Brian.
Who cares what I say? All right. Let's see. I got stuff I want to talk about. We got trending topics to do with Max Zapata. And also Eric Roberts will come in here as well. All right. I don't know if you got the article there, Max Zapata, but during the break a couple of weeks back, I think it was the University of Wisconsin decided to remove a boulder. And
so far, so good.
The boulder was racist. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, when people push, like me, against whichever way the wind is blowing this 10 minutes. And, you know, they're tearing down statues of Civil War generals. You kind of go, like most people go, like, well, all right, what's wrong? He's on the wrong side of history. Why do we have a statue? But then, now if it stopped there, then I think everyone could agree that that makes sense. But it doesn't stop. It goes to the statue of Lewis and Clark. And then, you know, Christopher Columbus, and then whoever else.
And then Washington, an uncarved statue, a.k.a. a boulder.
Lincoln. Like, at a certain point, but now we're at boulders. And it only took us, it took us about 10 minutes to get from Lewis and Clark to the boulder. Mm-hmm. It took like 7 weeks to get from Lewis and Clark to the boulder. It took like 14 months to get from the general on the south to Lewis and Clark, right, and then Lewis and Clark to the boulder. It all sort of speeds up. But a boulder.
Do tell.
Yeah, and by the way, it's pushed there by a glacier. It's from a glacier. It's like 40 million years old or
what
something.
What color was the glacier?
It has it has some significance, but it was put there, and it was named after, I think, the first president of the University of Wisconsin, who was like a botanist or something. But he shall no longer have the boulder that bears his name. They don't throw it in the river. They just move it to a different that's what I'm saying. Like, most of this stuff is just move it from here to there. So they, at great expense, hire a crane that can pick up a 40-ton boulder or whatever it was and move it somewhere else on campus.
Big or small.
You have the story there, Dawson?
A rock that students call a symbol of racism is removed from the University of Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin.
By the way, students is 1.5 students, but go ahead.
They didn't hear about this until this happened.
They removed a 42-ton boulder from their Madison campus on Friday after complaints from students of color who called the rock a symbol of racism. Chamberlain Rock, which had sat on observatory points since 1925, was named after Thomas Chamberlain, a geologist and former university president who served from 1887 to 1892. A 1925 Wisconsin State Journal article used the N-word as part of a nickname for the giant boulder.
Oh, boy.
From 1925.
Wait, 1995, you said?
No, it was
2005, did you say?
Yeah, it's been 100 years. All right.
The Wisconsin Black Student Union last summer called for the rock to be removed from campus as one of a series of demands it said were aimed at seeking justice for black students. The campaign came in the wake of the police killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, the union said in a statement posted on Instagram on Friday.
Were they killed with a boulder?
Jesus.
It was very meaningful for me to be there and to see the process all the way through to the end.
Right, because you're a narcissistic douche who just wants to go, I'm going to say jump, and you say how high. That it's meaningful not because anyone knew what the boulder stood for, but because three people could get a 45-ton boulder moved by complaining.
It's impressive.
Yes.
It's like a magic trick.
McWhorter, who was the president of the Wisconsin Black Student Union for the past academic year, was there when the boulder was removed Friday. It was about a year ago that we released our demands and met with the chancellor and explained to her why those demands meant so much to us.
I hope one day he ends up in heaven and sitting at a park bench next to Martin Luther King and many folks. That
you fought racism too?
What'd you do?
Oh, yeah. Just like me.
You know that boulder in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's a pretty famous boulder.
Okay, I'm not familiar with
it. I mean, there are Boulder, Colorado.
It's named the Chamberlain Boulder, but that's not its real name.
Okay.
Will Chamberlain? I mean, he was great. Why are there any boulder after him?
No, and don't look for him up here, by the way.
Okay.
It was called the N-word Boulder in 1925. That was, 150 years before I died. But
is that what it said on the rock? It said that on the boulder?
No, you guys are missing this. Hold on. Harriet Tubman's here. Harry
in heaven.
So what did you do? You build a I moved a boulder.
I built an underground railroad to free slaves and at the risk of my own peril every day.
I spearheaded the civil rights movement for a decade.
I hired a flatbed truck to move a boulder.
Oh.
Was the boulder on top of somebody?
No, I mean, symbolically, it was crushing the hopes and dreams of black America.
Wait, were these black students who got to go to the same college as white students?
I had a dream.
Oh.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Lots changed. No, they're there. I'm at the college.
That's great.
I'm the head of the black union in college.
You got this university integrated?
It had been integrated in the 40s, but...
Marty, are you confused too?
Do not take your eye off the prize. There's a boulder. I got it moved.
Okay. So the dream is realized? I'm confused.
Not fully realized. There's still work to do because they moved the boulder to another part of the campus.
Well, it just feels like pushing it off to the side.
Well.
This non-problematic boulder to begin with.
I suggest that they break the boulder down and make them into these small ball bearings of change.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
What exactly are the boulders?
I don't know what it means. I felt it coming on.
Are those symbolic or are those to be used in actual application?
Okay.
The ball bearings.
Take a turn for the mechanical here. Like the boulder is racist and I got it moved. You guys did your part.
Right.
I did my part. Let's not parse out who was more important or which part's bigger.
I feel like ours were definitely more important.
Yeah, I feel like the history is going to tell that tale.
Well, look, we really don't know.
There's a day named after me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a federal holiday.
Every child in school knows who I am.
Right. You guys were living in a time with two drinking fountains. I'm living in time with zero boulders.
Right, but we turned two into one.
We moved the boulder.
Okay.
All right.
I guess we all did our part.
Yeah, congratulations, all right, guy listen, we don't know.
I'll see you guys at the Golden Corral, which I'm assuming is in heaven somewhere. Okay. All right, so they got the boulder. I'm sorry, you can keep reading, Dawson.
The Native American Student Union, Wunk Sheik, partnered with the Wisconsin Black Student Union in the rock removal effort, the university said. The boulder sat on ancestral Ho-Chunk land. The university had to get permission from the Wisconsin Historical Society to remove the boulder, as it sat within the area of a Native American burial mound.
How many
of the university?
Yeah, I was going to say.
How many of these guys who moved the boulder were into the cause? Like, I'm looking at a picture of the dude. They look like they're on an oil derrick like 3 weeks earlier, and now they're moving boulders.
I mean, they're getting paid.
It's true.
It's work.
Mm-hmm.
The rock was not sitting on top of a burial site.
Oh.
The removal of the rock was approved by UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank in January. Quote, it took courage and commitment for the Wisconsin Black Student Union to bring this issue forward and to influence change alongside UW's Wunk Sheik student leaders, the Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Lori Reeser, said in a news release. In the midst of demands for justice following George Floyd's murder last summer, the students wanted change on campus, and they worked hard to see this through. While the decision required compromise.
Say it's a good sign when you're looking around your campus and you want to exact some change. And
now you're looking at nature.
You got a boulder.
Mineral.
Yeah, we're now getting to that point. Hey, but all right. I joke that at some point it would get to, you know, clouds are racist. Yeah. We're heading there with the boulder, the racist boulder.
UW student activist Aomi Ubese told CNN on Friday that removing the rock meant a lot to her and
by
others.
The way, would you, God help the company that hires these assholes in 4 years, you know what I mean? Where they're just walking around the office with their fucking head on a swivel. Like, is that creamer? What is that? You think that might be racist? Like, I'm literally walking around. They're literally just going to be walking around.
French
trying to
vanilla creamer? Really?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Although I would be down with that cause. Sorry, Dawson.
It's showing that our hard work isn't going to waste.
Well,
that if we keep pushing forward, change can come. We're seeing that with events like today.
You know what? As it pertains to the French vanilla, there's nothing there. I'm going to bring it back around. There's nothing about the boulder. There's nothing about, obviously, the boulder, who it's named after, what it symbolizes, all that stuff. Nothing about it racist. It's that someone down the road ascribed an offensive name to it. Not the boulder's fault.
Right.
Not the university's fault. Not the guy who was named after fault. You should start ascribing racist things to things you don't like the French vanilla. French vanilla, racist. Here, get it removed from society.
Right.
Have it removed.
Yeah, the
red turn arrows, racist.
And it's also, it suggests that if you can do a boulder, you can do anything. Is there a statue that cannot come down now? Is it possible?
Oh, we're past
statues. Is there anything
that's going to be blank spaces and voids?
What was the difference between, for the students, what was the difference between like scratching the etching of the guy's name off or putting a plaque over it as opposed to picking it up and moving it somewhere else? Just because it was more inconvenience?
Well, the plaque with the name on it is the guy's the botanist, is the whatever. So you don't have to do that.
I have to assume he was long dead by the time.
No, he was also the principal or the
president,
right?
Oh, what I'm saying is you don't have to scratch his name off because he was down
with
the cause.
Got it.
The guy who wrote an article in the newspaper.
30, 40 years later.
1925 to, whenever.
Because
he was
president in
the
1890s. So
right. That guy who wrote the article, if he has a statue up,
we
need to remove that statue. Yes, put a, get an addendum plaque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, hey, here's the rest of the story. This guy wrote a story about it in 1925 we disagree with. And then just mount that onto the boulder. Sorry, Dawson.
A crew worked for 4 hours to remove the boulder. An archaeologist was on site. And the grounds crew laid mats to minimize any soil disturbance.
An archaeologist.
The boulder is a large example of a rare Precambrian era glacial erratic, which may be more than 2 billion years old, the university said. A glacial erratic is a large rock that was moved by a glacier and left behind when the glacier moved on. The erratic is made of a different type of rock than is usually found in the area. The plaque honoring Chamberlain has been removed. A new plaque for the geologist will be placed on Chamberlain Hall.
Why not leave the plaque on the rock, though?
Did I miss a key part of the story? Why is Chamberlain getting wrapped up in this?
Because his name was affixed to a racist boulder. Come on, that's Brian.
That's so messed up.
Friendly fire.
Yeah, the guy was given the boulder in 1895. 30 years later, someone writes a horrible thing about the boulder or whatever. He's like, wait, why the fuck are we getting my name taken off this thing?
And it's 2 billion years old. By all means, swing it around on the forklift.
Yes.
Like, leave it alone.
The chancellor's office is using private donations to pay the $50,000 price tag for the rock's removal.
It's Cesario money.
It's being moved to university-owned land near Lake Caganza, southeast of Madison. Gary Brown, director of campus planning.
My prediction, by the way, is this will not be the last stop for this boulder.
Oh, yeah?
There'll be a freshman class who will be entering the University of Wisconsin that does not want it on school property. The racist boulder is still on school property.
The director of campus planning and landscape architecture shepherded the search for the rock's new home. Quote, moving the rock to this remote site.
How sweet, by the way, would it be to work for a college these days?
Oh,
like in the past, there was a bunch of academic standards and, you know, you had the people were protesting against Vietnam and shit like that. Shots fired. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, what are you doing today, honey? I'm going to scout out a place to put the boulder. By the way, do you think that guy gets pushed back from other people in the Boulder community? Like, really there? Yeah, I thought it made good sense. Right in the sun? Okay.
It's your funeral.
It's your first time moving to Boulder, son?
No, I just, it seemed to fit there.
Where'd you go to Boulder moving school?
Ironically, in Boulder.
Well, they're actually pretty good.
Moving the rock to this remote site prevents further harm to our community.
God. Community!
While preserving the rock's educational and research value for current and future scholars.
Well, how about all the lazy geologists who don't want to walk on to the other side of the campus to study the boulder? Yeah.
It's a win for them.
It's going to prevent more harm.
Wow. All
right, meanwhile, if you take a look at what's going on in some of the inner cities, there's a couple of problems that could be fixed.
I have an idea. Hmm. Go to the inner cities. Tell them about the boulder.
Yeah.
See,
the uniter. They always could be.
They would be less into the boulder movement than Latinos are being called Latinx.
Mm.
I think you'd see a lower percentage of blacks who cared about the boulder.
And to that point, if you did go into these neighborhoods and tell them about the boulder, how fucking insulting is that? Like, but don't worry, guys.
Yes.
Like, that is...
Have you heard the good news?
That is the ultimate insult. Like, don't worry, we got you. We had a rock. Anyway, it's moved like 5 feet.
It was 50 grand. Maybe that could have gone into some dental work.
Some outreach.
Or the...
could have bought 5,000 notebooks.
Or the bookmobile coming by. But we put it into Boulder Movement.
You're welcome.
All right. So we have now gotten... It's now distilled down into moving of boulders. All right. Kaylin... You know, I've said for a long time, although it's been a while, which is I don't know what I think it's a SoCal thing, but we evidently need to move copious amounts of gravel in Los Angeles because I see those gravel trucks on the freeway all the time. Mm-hmm. They're just taking it from here and putting it over there. Maybe it's because we're an earthquake country. Mm. We got to go full subterranean with the foundations.
A question for Mr. Building Guy: what is gravel used for besides roads? Is it used for what is it? What is the application?
Well, cement is cement without aggregate. So gravel probably be used for aggregate, which then makes it into concrete.
Aha. So they're going to, okay.
So they would probably excavate it and then use it somewhere to make concrete, I'm assuming. But the gravel trucks are out there. And, you know, we have a lot of rules about safety and cars and click it or ticket and 5 mile an hour crash bumpers and stuff. But still, those pieces of steel that those tank traps from World War II that protrude from the back of the gravel truck.
I see one now.
They stick out 4 feet and
right at driver's height.
If you took an M1 Abrams tank and got it up to full speed and hit one of those, it wouldn't budge. Mm-hmm. Like, it is that kind of triangulated. But our own Kalen, and I've always said, like, why aren't there reflectors on those things? Why
the little red scarf.
Put a bumper pad or something on there, because if you're driving a Mini Cooper and someone rear ends you in a Denali, that thing's going right through your throat.
You'll be impaled.
Yes. They put a warning sign on one of them, according to our own Kalen.
Yeah, I pulled up behind one of these trucks the other day getting off the freeway, and I thought the back sign was pretty comical, so I took a picture of it.
Let's see.
The back sign says, warning, stay back 200 feet, not responsible for broken windshields.
Well, there you go.
Not my problem.
Right. But with the traffic, who could actually leave 3/4 of a football field or 2/3 of a football field between them and the car in front of them?
And ironically, you have to be within 200 feet of that sign to read it.
That's a good point. That is a very valid point. But for some reason, we do not care about gravel trucks and the protruding things that will impale the motorists. And we don't care about the ice cream trucks, because I just saw our local ice cream guy going around here. And
I was like, Lock and Yacht. I'm like, you got to have a higher class than one of the Lock and Yacht.
No, here.
It's playing off key.
Some of the scariest vehicles on the planet.
It's the opening of a horror movie.
It really is.
Off key.
Right.
Ring around.
Yes. The ball, slow motion, just bouncing into the street with no child around. All right. We have Kalen also took. Kalen's been on a roll. He also took a picture on the road of something that I remember from my childhood, but I don't remember seeing it recently, which is guys driving with their foot hanging out the window.
What?
Yeah.
Rarely on the driver's side. Yeah.
Got the driver's side foot.
Oh, my God.
Now, there's a couple of things.
Relax.
Dawson, you pull that move?
I've done that.
Yeah, it's an awesome move.
This is going about 45.
You can't do it when you drive a stick.
I was going about 45 miles an hour when I took this picture. This wasn't in the middle of, you know, dead stop traffic.
Wow.
First things first. I feel like you're asking to be pulled over, right? Like, foot out the window, you're just saying, well, pull me over.
First things first, Kalen, wash your goddamn windshield.
Yes, please. Secondly, I remember
he's resting it on the side view mirror.
I remember it kind of from my youth, and maybe air conditioning killed it or over-officious cops killed it, but I haven't seen it in a while. It's probably not a good sign in terms of what neighborhood you're passing through.
The gold rims really complete the milieu.
Yes.
What kind of car would you say this is?
God, is that a VW Rabbit? I'm just guessing from the side profile. I can't
tiny little car.
I can't tell. Nah, yeah, maybe a VW Rabbit.
Looks like a.
We'll see if we can figure it out. Yeah. But there used to be a lot of sitting in the bed of the pickup truck, hanging the foot out, lots of arms hanging out with cigarettes dangling on them. I now can kind of tell the have and the have nots from. When it's 97 degrees outside, who's got the windows down?
Yes.
Because that means you're have not because your air conditioning doesn't work in your vehicle. Dawson, your reason for hanging the foot out?
Especially during the summer when you're wearing shorts, when you don't like the air conditioning, the wind blows right up in there.
Oh, right into
it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. Dawson's
cash
elevator.
And prizes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that on those... not side streets, though. That's a long haul.
That's a long haul thing. Yeah, you can't because you got to stop to, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no. You can kind of do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere.
Do you ever use your leg to signal?
not for turns.
I do feel like if you got pulled over, that'd be one of your only viable excuses.
Yeah,
like,
you better hide
in arms. Taking a left, officer. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Someone cuts him off, gives him the middle toe.
All right. Let's see. Got other stuff to play. Oh, well, all right. I don't like to bag on comedians, but when I was growing up, Cheech and Chong were about the biggest comedic act out there. And everyone loved Cheech and Chong. Mm-hmm. But you get older and you're kind of like, what happened to Cheech and Chong? Like, where's the comedy? They were a factory for a decade.
Movies and albums.
Sure. Yeah, and the albums were huge.
Up in Smoke. And
everybody memorized all of the verbiage from the albums, and you'd come to junior high and you'd repeat the Cheech and Chong bits. But I was always a little dubious. Like, I listened to George Carlin albums when I was a kid, and I thought that was funny. And then there was Bill Cosby and people like that. But the Cheech and Chong, I never quite got. And then later on in life, they just kind of went their separate ways. But usually...
Cheech became a celebrity Jeopardy champion.
Yes.
He's very smart.
I use, I'll kind of use Jimmy as this example, but you can think of, I don't know, all the comedic guys you like. You know, Chris Rock, Chris Boulder needs to be moved.
Mm. Sure.
They just keep churning it out. You know what I mean? It's movies, it's albums, it's stand-up specials. You
always
know,
just set.
It just keeps going. Or Seinfeld or whomever. Cheech and Chong, not so much. They had an era. And I was driving the other day, and on the radio, I think it was KLOS, they played one of the most famous Cheech and Chong bits of all time. And I was listening to it, not through the ears of an eighth grader, but through the ears of an adult who works in the comedy field.
Every bit as good as you remember?
Just listen to it. And by the way, you know, these aren't live comedy albums. These are just recorded in a studio.
Like the Sandler album. Like they're all going to laugh at you, that kind of thing.
All right. We'll just play one of their favorite bits, or one of the biggest bits, called Earache My Eye. Hold on. Top 10 on Billboard, 1974. Yeah.
This is about 4 minutes into the track.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a song.
You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
I don't care what you just bought. You get your little fanny perpendicular and get ready for school.
I'm not going to school.
What do you mean you're not going to school?
Just what I said. I'm not going to school.
And why not?
Because I'm sick. That's why I'm not.
Sick? You're sick, all right. What's wrong with you now, Prince Charming?
I got an earache.
Earache my eye. How would you like a buttache? Now get your little fanny out of that bed and clean up this room. It looks like a pigsty. You hear me? All right, that's enough. That's enough. You push me far enough, young man. You're getting punished. Now stand up.
No.
I said stand up.
I let go of my hair, man.
Now, young man, I have talked to you and talked to you and talked to you till I'm blue in the face and I'm done talking to you.
Good. Does that mean you're done spitting on me, too?
Shut up. I'm not done talking to you. Now turn around and bend over.
What are you gonna do, you pervert?
Pervert? Why are you snotty? Oh, shut up! I haven't even touched it yet. Now I want you to know this is gonna hurt you a lot more than it's gonna hurt me.
Oh, wow. That didn't even hurt.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wow. What are you trying to do, tickle me?
Tickle you? Yeah, I'll tickle you. Ow! Oh, is that tickle, huh? Come on, let's tickle. Come on, laugh it up, funny boy.
No more.
All right, now you gonna do what I tell you?
Yeah.
You gonna talk back to me?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, no.
All right. Now you get your clothes on and get your little butt ready for school. Right now, do you understand?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now, I wouldn't. Would you think to even write that down?
That's the whole thing.
That was
a premise.
That was the bit.
That was a setup.
That's the comedy.
Okay.
That is the majesty of Cheech and Chong in 1974. I feel like we had comedy by then.
Were they considered at the time a novelty act?
I don't know how, you know how it is. We liked Here Comes the Judge, or, you know, what you talking about, Willis?
Catchphrases.
We like catchphrases. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Yeah. That's a spicy meatball.
Where's the beef?
And we time just show up donuts at school the next day going, right, that's a spicy meatball. And people like start laughing. It got into like cheeseburger. Like it just, we liked the little catch things. Okay. And so people would come in and just repeat whatever little catch things. But stuff like delivered? This is going to hurt you a lot more. It's going to hurt me. And it's like, it's vaudevillian.
There wasn't a catchphrase in there.
Yeah.
They would play drops like from it on rock stations.
Was it
and
aimed
stuff
at like 13-year-olds?
I do not know. I think it was aimed at 13. That would be interesting, which is when the nation was caught up in Cheech and Chong fever, were there a bunch of 36-year-olds that are like, are you nuts? This stuff sucks.
I'd be surprised.
When I was playing CYO basketball in like 83 or 84, if we played a good game, our coach would let us listen to Cheech and Chong's greatest hit on the way home.
Just
from
the
basketball
game.
Just
the
one hit. Well, it was their greatest hits record.
Right.
With all the stuff
okay,
on it. So
well, there's your answer.
We were not even 13. We were like 10, 11, and it was the funniest
delighted
thing we'd
yeah,
ever heard
that
in all our right lives.
All right. Well, nothing wow funny about that for adults.
Yeah, so once the song peaked on the charts, song radio stations, well, because the first
there's
4 minutes is like that guitar riff.
Right.
Radio station managers and owners, especially the AM stations, pulled the song off the air following multiple complaints from parents, teachers, psychologists, clergy, principals,
clergy,
school administrators, and counselors. They said that the song mostly appealed to junkies, dropouts, drug addicts, and drunkards.
Vagrants and hobos.
Yeah, I still know most of the words of that song.
All right, let me tell you about Craig Pockethole Jig 520 Pro. Now, anyone can easily create perfect strong pocket hole joints with the Craig. That's K-R-E-G, pocket hole jig. It's the most versatile pocket hole jig yet. I've used this tool. It is substantial. It works. If you're putting two pieces of wood together, you need this. Unless you want to get into a bunch of joinery. I mean, as much as we love dovetail joints and dados and rabbets, let's face it. It's a lot of work and a high skill level as well. With the Craig Pocket Hole Jig 520 Pro, you can do it easily. Comes with everything you need, the drill bits and the material gauge, also a classic face clamp, 100 Craig Pocket Hole screws, and a project plan. Retails for just $99.99, and it's available nationwide. Home Depot, Lowe's, home centers, woodworking, hardware stores, and you can build like a pro. That's K-R-E-G. Tool.com. You go there to learn more. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break and we'll do trending topics with Max Zapata right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Max-a-pada. Max-a-pada, oh,
Max-a-pada. Rocky Max-a-pada.
Well, he stands no more than 5'3". This puffy-haired, horny, hungry Asian pygmy. Road trips with Corolla and sleeps in a drawer. Heard he's good with the ladies, Filipino man whore. Took a school bus trip all around the state. He got a big appetite, likes to clean his plate. His real name's Loxamana, but not to Adam. So we change that shit up, now we call him Max-a-pada.
Max-a-pada, Max-a-pada.
All right. So a lot going on that's been trending lately. Especially there's this thing on the Washington Post that's been happening. This humorist, his name is Gene Weingarten. He's getting a lot of flack as of yesterday because he posted an article about all the foods he hates.
Mm. He's a humorist.
He's a humorist, yeah. Mm. Yeah,
not a food critic. Bad sign, but go on.
Yeah, right. Well, and it actually reminded me of one of my favorite bits that we used to do, Will Andrew or Brian Eat It. Mm-hmm. But so he basically just listed off all the foods he hates and why. And I'll read some of them first just so you can get a taste of what this guy's palate's like.
Taste.
Mm-hmm.
Hates balsamic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by itself, it's pretty harsh, but you got to mix that shit up.
Yeah, you got to sprinkle it on. A little salad brings it alive. I don't like the glazed version of it.
What?
I don't either.
It's gooey. I just like straight balsamic.
Whenever it's like, oh, pan-fried Brussels sprouts, perfect in a balsamic glaze, and I'm out.
Just a touch of it.
Awesome.
Yes, I agree.
Well, a touch. Yeah. A touch. But they don't do a touch. They get the squeeze bottle out, and they...
Yep.
Yeah, it's sugary. It's syrupy. But anyway, he doesn't like balsamic. Doesn't like hazelnut.
I don't like hazelnut.
That's weird. Oh, really?
I don't care about Nutella. I think people make way too big of a deal out of it.
It's a lovely flavor.
But it's nobody's favorite. Everybody pretends it's their favorite.
A hazelnut, but hazelnut flavored things.
Oh, hazelnut coffee. I don't need it. Don't need it.
Well,
people don't like Nutella because they think it's chocolate. They get it and they're thinking they're getting chocolate.
It says nut in the name.
Yeah.
So fine with this
guy. But still a great name for a young black guy.
Yeah. He doesn't like anchovies.
Same. Who does?
Yeah, that's not really a controversial stance.
What about blue cheese?
What's next? Beets and lima beans and liver?
Most of the stuff he's naming is all sort of like saying, do you like salt? It's like, well, I don't want a bowl of salt, but if you sprinkle it and use it wisely.
Correctly, yeah.
Like nobody, a little blue cheese on the salad is great. Eating chunks of blue cheese is weird. So he's already picked a bunch of stuff where we're trying to measure it, which isn't really a good sign because you go, well, do you like pecan pie or do you like apple pie? You don't go, how much?
Right.
Or sure. How are you using the pecan pie?
This one's pretty weird. He also says he doesn't like pizza or hot dogs with more than two toppings.
Now he's just being difficult.
That's a weirdo.
All right.
He's a weirdo. Oh, all garbage sushi?
Garbage sushi.
What is garbage? I don't know what that
is. California rolls are with all the drizzle of the...
Oh,
the,
I agree.
Yeah. Hey, I don't like all the...
He sure is humorous.
I don't like the spunk shui version, or I should say the bukkake version of the sushi. I don't like all the...
Then you know where you can never go for sushi?
Hmm.
Cabo. We went for sushi when we went to Cabo. Oh. Everything is full like mango syrup and mayonnaise on
that's
everything.
That's a least common denominator situation.
Yes, leave the squirt bottles at home.
Yeah. Well, the reason that he's...
By the way, we lived in a better America where the squirt bottle was just relegated to either ketchup or mustard.
Yes.
As soon as we start putting the mayonnaise-based stuff in there and then the glaze in there and then... on everything, that's when we start
allowed,
the slide.
Yeah, we allowed barbecue sauce. It's like, okay, I guess so. And then it was game on.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he's under fire because he also said he doesn't like Indian food. So he writes...
That's racist.
Yep.
Well,
that's what it is.
Yeah. He writes, the Indian subcontinent has vastly enriched the world. It gave us chess, buttons...
I know.
Go on.
By the way, buttons. It's like when they talk about female inventors. They go, you know, they invented whiteout. Like... That's your claim to fame.
How often are you using that these days?
Elon Musk took a shit this morning and beat you with whatever came out of his ass. It's like whiteout. We're taking liquid paper and smearing it over typos.
You're not going to like where he's going with this. Then they also gave us the mathematical concept of zero.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I heard
so
crows can
nothing?
Figure out. Crows just figured out. Yeah, exactly. Shampoo, Adam.
Yeah.
Chutes and Ladders, the Fibonacci sequence.
Shampoo to me is like barbed wire. I had to tell everyone from DeKalb, Illinois, like we didn't invent barbs or wire, but we invented barbed wire. It's like, you don't you think we'd be going without shampoo if someone in Bombay didn't come up with it back when? Like we had soap. Someone figured out that you could put it on your head.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Cashmere. Well, anyway, he also says they also invented the only ethnic cuisine in the world insanely based entirely on one spice. If you like Indian curries, yay, you like Indian food. If you think Indian curries taste like something that could knock a vulture off a meat wagon, you do not like Indian food. I don't get it as a culinary principle.
This is hilarious.
It's as though the French passed a law requiring every dish to be slathered in smashed, pureed snails.
What?
So,
Curry's not in, it's only in curry.
I love Indian food. I get his angle that's a pretty popular spice in that region of the world.
Cumin, gram masala.
It's not exactly a super strong comedic angle, but fine. Look, I get that Indian food can divide the room. I love Indian food, there's people that don't. I go, I get it.
We got some great Indian food in London. They have excellent Indian food out there. Yeah.
It'd be like writing off all Italian food because you don't like marinara sauce. Yes, that's a big part of it, but
you don't like oregano.
Yeah, it's foolish. Right.
By the way, did you know, can I be the asshole here for a second?
Yes.
Apparently, chicken tikka masala that we all love so much, not Indian.
No, sure. Oh.
Mm.
Colonized. The Brits liked it, not the Indians, but I love it.
But they invented the button, so that's all is forgiven.
Well, a lot of people are upset because curry is not actually a spice. It's a blend of many spices. It's a
Thai curry.
There's no such thing as a curry spice.
Right. So, Padma Lakshmi.
Oh, yeah.
Top chef.
Love
top
Padma.
Chef. Oh, yeah. I was a big top chef guy.
She's hot. Upset.
Oh, she's very upset. Uh-oh. She wrote, "What in the white nonsense is this?" And on
that
behalf of 1.3 billion people, kindly fuck off.
I like that she has anointed herself the spokesperson for 1.3 billion people. It's such, this is really, I tell everyone all the time, the real white privilege is not feeling like I have to see someone who writes an article attacking pizzas and now I must snap into action. You know, my phone starts blowing up. I gotta, on behalf of the Italian people, I need to fire back a hastily worded rebuttal. Gah. Sorry. I don't like this guy, but he should fuck right off too. Who
Everybody.
Gives a fuck?
Well, Gene tweeted, "I took a lot of blowback for my dislike of Indian food in today's column." So, tonight, I went to Rasika, Washington, D.C.'s best Indian restaurant. The food was beautifully prepared, yet still swimming with herbs and spices I most despise. I take nothing back.
Whoa!
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Well, Padma continued tweeting and posting on her Instagram about it. Mindy Kaling got into it.
I'm sorry. As someone who loves Indian food, is he just not allowed to not like it? He doesn't have to like it.
Yes, but you cannot express that you don't like it. You have to be very quiet about it.
Yeah, that was Mindy Kaling's point. Like, you can not like something, just you don't have to tell everybody.
Yeah, he was the ugly American. Like, I don't like the subcontinent of India. I was like, all right, you don't like curry.
But look, here's the thing. He's a humorist. Mm-hmm. And when you're a humorist... All right. Well, when
he calls himself a humorist.
Self-described.
The plaque on his office door says humorist. So when you're a humorist, you're sort of compelled to pick things. You pick sides.
Sure.
There is no comedy where you go,
I like
this football coach equally as much as I like that. I like blondes equally as much. I like the by definition, humor is pick a side.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing. He's picking a side.
Well, he picked the wrong side because everybody is calling him racist for saying all
for
that.
Not liking food. Yeah. Well, it's down to probably progressive humorists who live in New York and boulders. Yeah. That's what we got in 2021 as far as racism.
Well, the article has now been revised, and he
tweeted, loves Indian now.
He tweeted an apology on Monday. He said, "From start to finish, the column was about what a whining, infantile, ignorant dickhead I am, and I should have named a single Indian dish, not the whole cuisine."
That's true.
"And I do see how the broad brush was insulting. So apologies. Yes, curries are spice blends, not spices."
The other thing about comedy is you got to go broad brush. You can't go, "Some Asian drivers are slow, many are not." Yeah. It doesn't work. You have to go all. The essence of comedy is pick a side, go broad. So the pussy apologized.
Yeah,
apologize. Yeah, because when Mindy Kaling's coming after you,
but here's something
you
gotta
throw it in reverse.
If you're talking about specific stuff like blue cheese, balsamic vinegar, I mean, those are very specific things. He could have ended with, you know, "I like some Indian, but can we stop with the curry? Like, here's why I hate curry." But we didn't even get where he was going with this.
Well, it wasn't well articulated, but my point is he's allowed to say whatever he wants. That's my point.
True.
You don't have to figure out whether it was funny or acceptable.
And then the hottest person from that ethnicity can weigh in. Like,
that's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Funny
She's
or acceptable
angry.
Notwithstanding, I found the last part to be very, desperately thirsty. It's like, oh, you're trying to get people to pay attention. You're trying to get tweets. You're trying to get people to be outraged. Like, he was naming specific foods. Then he went like hard against a whole, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Cuisine. Like, it wasn't funny or controversial. It was thirsty. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, look at me. I'm being edgy.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. There's people that don't. I don't know. Do you guys have a cuisine you don't like?
Well,
most people have, you know, some, like, if you said, most people I know, I think, if you said, we're going to go do Italian or we're going to do Mexican or we're going to do barbecue, but if you brought up, they usually have one where they go, mm-hmm. I don't want to go to that. I'm not into mm-hmm. Korean food or something. Usually somebody has something, if you name them five types of food in a potential restaurant to go out to tonight, they'd have one that go, I don't like that. So he doesn't like it.
Right.
It's not an indictment of the Indian people.
Yeah, I don't even have a food I don't like.
Well, nah, me.
Shocking.
Yeah, me neither.
I would imagine every reasonable adult, even if they don't care for that cuisine for the most part, there's one thing there you're like, yeah, I like that. That, you know, if we go to that restaurant, I can order this.
Yeah. There's always something.
I think we're missing the gestalt here, which is he's allowed to say whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah. That's my point. Yes. And Mindy and Pashmina need to shut the fuck up.
With the Asian driver stereotype, whenever I do a wrong move, like if I accidentally cut somebody off and the guy will veer next to me and look at me, I hate confrontation. Mm. So what I do is I squint my eyes and I look as Asian as possible as he drives by, and they just do like the
buck teeth situation.
Yeah.
I do that too, but I use my hands.
And it gets me through it. All right. There's a
stupid.
Took me a sec.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
There's a new online internet challenge that's taken the world by storm.
if we've not heard of it, you can't say it's taken the world by storm.
Yeah. It's the milk crate challenge, Adam.
Oh, I've heard of it.
I think Adam could probably do it.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, so here, I'll just put a picture of what it is. So basically, everybody just stacking.
You could pull this off.
Not easy.
Stacking milk crates, and they're just. And the goal is to just go get from one side to the other, and everybody's eating shit. And this guy tweeted, "This shit too silly."
The worst part is they fall straight down onto fallen milk crates.
It's bad. Like a lot of orthopedic doctors are just very highly.
I can tell you what the bones are that are the problems.
Please. First off, again, like it because it means we're out of problems, whether we're eating Tide Pods or walking on milk crates.
Yeah. Well, an orthopedist said that it's broken wrists, shoulder dislocations, ACL and meniscus tears, and spinal cord injuries. Because once you get to the top, that's where everybody eats shit.
Only someone with great balance should attempt this.
I hope that whoever is in the hospital with the spinal cord injury is next to a veteran who stepped on an improvised explosive device, and they have to explain what brought them both to the hospital.
Well, mine is improvised too.
Yeah, because it gives the illusion that they kind of support each other.
No.
When you get to the top. No, they don't.
And do you want to see the video?
I purposely didn't pull the video of people eating shit just because there's some trauma to the spine. But if you want to see it, we can put it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
But I do have some successful ones. Those are going viral too, the people that make it. So why don't we watch one that.
I've never seen someone make it.
I've seen one. This guy's named White Mike. And, and he's rolling a blunt while he does it. So here, watch a little bit of him on descending.
Descending, this is where it always gets everybody. But he's rolling a blunt at the top.
Yeah, he's rolling it on the crates, cuz.
There he goes.
Get that nigga a lighter! Get that nigga a light! Get that nigga a light!
Yeah, they're loving it.
Under my regime, I show up wherever this place is and I round everyone up. I'm like, who's on welfare? Who's on disability? Who's behind on child support payments? What is going on?
Someone's about to be on disability on that milk crate.
You got energy. You got wherewithal. I'm going to see some recent pay stubs.
I think Brian's calling shenanigans.
That's the first time I've seen that. I'm going to call BS on that. Those are way too secure. I've been around 2 years in the grocery store. Been around a lot of milk crates.
Oh, my God.
Been around a lot of milk crates. Oh, no. Those are wobbly as shit. They'll fall over if you elbow them.
Are you saying there's some zip ties maybe
those
involved?
Those are being secured in some way.
Because every single person who gets to the top of the pyramid, the whole middle pyramid shakes and falls.
Maybe it was the grass.
No, it's not the grass.
There is another video. I didn't have it ready, but he does eat shit. Like, there's another one where two guys go on it and they both eat shit and the thing falls apart. So, anyway, that's White Mike rolling a blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know how to roll a blunt?
No.
Yeah, only if you have one of the bamboo rollers.
Who the fuck are you talking to?
I don't know.
I'm not.
Gina just said she does.
Anyone can roll it with a bamboo roller.
I have this thing where I can put a Lamborghini inside of my house. That I can work out. But putting a sleeping bag back into the sleeping bag case,
oh, yeah.
I cannot do that.
You're not a fine motor skill guy.
I can't make a bed.
Yeah.
I can't roll a blunt, and, you know, I can't open a bag of chips and, like, zip tie it nicely back together. Mm. I'm no good at any of that stuff. Perhaps I'm not putting the kind of effort I put into putting the Lambo inside the house, but all that kind of put it back together stuff or put it in its case or make the bed, no. Roll the
delicate.
Blunt, not good. Probably couldn't make a decent ravioli.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you probably can't do a burrito. You can't wrap a burrito.
No, not. Oh. But my feeling is I will farm that stuff out.
Sure.
I'll take my chances with Chipotle.
So the other day, Dawson was at work, and he's sitting right there where he is now, and he looks at me and goes, hey, you want a burrito? And I just said, no, thanks. Like, come on, just take it. And I said, no. And he goes, all right, well, I made 10. And I was like, you made 10 burritos? And he responds, yeah, well, I'm going to Nashville.
Oh, I love him so much.
He packs burritos to go to Nashville.
Adds up.
What's in the burrito?
This one was ground beef, beans, rice, cheese, sour cream, hot sauce.
Perfect. The perfect
it's
burrito.
It's good, but I worry about the sour cream for the long hauler burrito.
So it's fine.
I don't know.
I've eaten 36-hour-old burritos that have been sitting in the truck.
With the sour cream? I know. I appreciate it. I feel like the guac and or sour cream may be the no leave the state burrito.
Well, the only thing the sour cream
does. They have burritos in other states.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't go to Nashville and get a burrito.
Got you there. Touche. Right.
This is the guy. Okay. The story's been told.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, and so everybody's gonna hear. Oh, here's another one, Gina. You'll like this one. Somebody did the milk crate challenge while wearing heels.
How?
Yeah, look at that. So here, we'll just watch a little bit of it. She goes, she's very carefully.
Hold on,
that's crazy.
I don't know if this is insensitive. Is this an urban thing? Because
no, it's just
the only footage I've seen is of black people doing this so far.
They're the ones that can pull it off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And where are they getting all these milk crates?
Because the Tide Pod and things like that seem to be the domain of the young white man. Those are the 13-year-old white guys. I've only seen two clips, but they feel fairly urban.
Chris, to answer your question, I'm certainly not encouraging anyone to do this, but most grocery stores around the back by the loading dock will pile empty egg crates, milk crates. They just don't fit inside the paddock.
Similar tip,
paddock.
If you go to a hospital and you go to the emergency...
Go on.
There'll be a cage in the back, and they'll have big canisters of nitrous oxide back there. You got to negotiate the fence, but if you get one of those, it ain't a whip it. It's a lifetime supply.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend, he worked at a shoe store, and they had to destroy all the shoes that they would throw away. They would just take a razor and slice out the tongues and throw
That's
those away
so cause stupid. To prevent
the, so the dumpster divers wouldn't get to them.
Why not? Give them to that's the dumpster
what
divers.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right. Weak.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's the newest challenge. And walking in heels, I know firsthand, very
can't
difficult.
Can't do it anyway.
Yeah. It's hard just walking on flat ground. All right. Let's move on to this tweet was going viral. It's from @HostingCholo. Oh. And he writes, hey, film Twitter, I got a question. We all know red flag movies.
I saw this.
Like Fight Club, The Joker, etc., that we can all spot on site. But is there any green flag movies that you hear someone say that makes you instantly trust or like a person? So what he's implying is that if you like Fight Club or The Joker, that's a red flag. And you cannot be trusted. Or
I own Fight Club on DVD. I love that
fucking
movie.
Everybody loves Fight Club.
It's funny enough, it's very divisive when it
really?
Came out.
Does that mean you're an aggressive person, or what does that mean?
It's Okay, I think a very inaccurate reading of the movie, or a cursory reading of the movie, could say it's toxic masculinity, you know, with the hyper masculinity and them get, you know, doing all this crazy shit. However, it's very funny. It's very satirical.
Yes.
It's very sharp, observational. You talk about, you know, it's things that commercials or whatever, things give you an idea of the moment that we're in. Fight Club did a really good job of capturing that moment we were in.
Well, we're forgetting the number one all-time sort of indicator movie, and that's Scarface. If you're really into Scarface, that's a scary dude, number one. As a matter of fact, I don't know any women that are really into Scarface.
That movie sucks.
It does. See, there you go.
Do we ever discuss the B-plot of him and his sister being completely sexually into each other?
Every episode of Cribs on MTV, when they went down to the movie theater, was a big poster of Scarface hanging there. So look out for the dudes who are really into Scarface.
It's time for you to bring this up again. What do you think there's more of? Because the female version of Scarface is Breakfast at Tiffany's. Terrible movie. More about the poster than the movie. Do you think there's more posters in people's houses who have not seen Scarface, or more posters in like sorority rooms of girls who have not seen Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Good question.
Because they are terrible films.
I think everyone who has the Scarface poster has definitely seen it 18 times.
I've never seen Scarface. And I have no desire to
stupid.
Now.
Stupid.
It's
relevance does it have to like a 90s rapper?
It's the gangster like mentality.
Yeah,
it's like this guy is the gangster and he's from rags to riches.
Hence why they have the poster and not seeing the movie, in my estimation.
It's everyone's favorite. It's all those guys' favorite movies. I don't think they've not seen that movie. They've seen it quite a few times.
But in our generation,
it's a watchable. It's a bizarre movie, but it's perfectly watchable. It's just bizarre.
So stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid. Pacino's doing the crazy accent. It's kind of a hot mess. But it's definitely watchable.
Does he or does he not want to fuck his sister?
It is kind of weird because nobody can go near his sister,
right.
Which was kind of a theme. It's a gangster theme, you know, like get away from my sister. They always have a pretty kid sister, and then one of the other guys in the gang is always attracted to the sister. But they can't. Cannot happen. Yes.
I wish we would have watched Scarface instead of Rod Deal the other night.
It's Scarface is kind of Showgirls before Showgirls.
Yeah. Bingo!
It's exactly
Perfect.
What it is. Like it's this bunch of crazy scenes cobbled
That's a
together.
Great double feature.
Yes.
Well, David Fincher actually he was talking to Variety one time and he said this about Fight Club. My daughter had a friend named Max. She told me Fight Club is his favorite movie. I told her never to talk to Max again.
Wow.
Well, I'll just throw out this movie if you like it. If you like the movie Election, I'll probably like you.
It's a great movie.
Oh, good.
You're discerning.
Heady.
Cool.
Yeah. Heady, whatever. You like Little Miss Sunshine, I got no fucking time for you.
Have you seen Fight Club?
Yes.
I think people like Fight Club, like her little friend Max, for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? The fighting and the chaos and the mayhem. And it's like, it's not about that. It's satirical.
Right. Well, in our generation of like high school, college, whatever, the two posters everyone had was a quote from Samuel L. Jackson on Pulp Fiction or just a random Reservoir Dogs poster.
I have both those.
Of course you did. Course.
All right. One more, Max Pana.
All right.
Have one
I got one more. So this new study everybody's been talking about. It's from the University of Michigan School of Public Health, and they ranked foods by the amount of minutes you gain or lose in your life after you eat a serving of it.
Vinny has thoughts about this.
Yeah. So, for instance, eating one hot dog will take 36 minutes off your life.
But just the parts at the end of your life, you don't need that.
Yeah, just the
minutes.
Part. But everybody's very worried about Joey Chestnut.
Is this really discernible?
That's what I'm thinking. Because look, they all say eating a chicken wing, you lose just a little over 3 minutes. And if you eat a PB,
but no one eats one chicken wing,
right?
You
get
a pile of wings.
How can you quantify this? How would you even do this?
All right, keep going.
Okay, if you eat this one's weird. If you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you gain 33 minutes. And then if you eat salmon and rice, you gain 10 to 15 minutes. So. The food studies range from 74 minutes lost to 80 minutes gained per serving. Sugary drinks, hot dogs, burgers, breakfast sandwiches links to most minutes of healthy life lost. Whereas fruits, non-starchy and mixed vegetables, ready-to-eat cereals, cooked grains, associated with the largest gains.
Has this been trod on COVID patients on ventilators?
I brought this up to Vinny, and his answer was, Pumpkin, who funds that university? And I said, I don't know. He goes, well, you find out, because he thinks it's probably a vegan study, because look at all the things that you gain with and all the things that they say you lose with.
Interesting.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwich got about be amongst the worst. Yeah. I mean, peanut butter is not good. Then you got all the carbs with the bread, and then you got all sugar. The sugar with the jelly. That cannot be scientific at all.
And who wants to live like that? Like you're deciding between. I mean, they kind of do this with cigarettes too. But you're deciding: do I want to eat this hot dog, or do I want that 36 minutes of life?
Yeah, no one wants to keep
in your head.
Yeah, no one wants to keep. What did Simmons that had like the calorie calculator? He had the deal a wheel or the meal
Richard
a
Simmons,
deal.
The deal a meal.
Yeah,
yep, that's right. Who wants to
hold that clicker in your hand?
They're dealing mail cards. There was the cruise to lose.
This is nonsense. I'm going to label this
fake news.
All right, yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyway, that was trending topics.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Do we have an outro or do
not
we
for
care?
This one, not for this one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, play the other outro. Oh, I like Fox on the Run. Yeah. All right, Eric Roberts is waiting in the wings. We'll bring him in a second. First, I'll tell you about Sleeper, modern fantasy experience designed to connect people over sports with integrated chat and a sleek interface. Sleeper users talk more to their league mates. Yes, Brian.
Can I tell you one of the coolest things about Sleeper? And they were early on this. None of my other apps did this, but Sleeper will send you push notifications of breaking fantasy news, and you're like, oh, big deal. Dude, if someone like breaks their ankle in practice, you need to like dump that guy and get someone else. Or if someone's been benched, they'll send you like push notifications and stuff.
That's why we
love
Sleeper. Fantasy, NFL, NBA, even LCS, League of Legends, free, zero ads, and genuinely premium experience. Fastest growing fantasy platform, millions of users, built almost entirely on word of mouth, and it's available at the App Store, Google Play, and on your desktop. Download the Sleeper app and start playing today. That is Sleeper. Our old friend Eric Roberts is going to join us, and we'll talk to him right after this.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save.